C-168. Number 1B.
Well, just to give you an example so that you can see what happened, say, she had the chapter on, say, Atonement and Eucharist, and soon she had a text that was similar to the last edition, to the final edition, up to the sixth subject. We have done that last year and have seen that Atonement and Eucharist has seven main subjects, and that the seventh main subject is a very big one, a very complex one. But at the beginning, she had Atonement and Eucharist only in some kind of a structure that went up to the sixth subject, and ended the sixth subject with the question, what is love? And ended it. She couldn't give an answer to that statement. She only felt that must be a statement, a seventh statement, but she didn't quite know. And what happened was that the answer which she gives there, and which we have then now in as a seventh subject, was really in her chapter on imposition and demonstration, which was the third part of spiritualism. And so in the later edition, she did not more anymore ask, now, what is love? But put that whole section on the love that was in the chapter on imposition and demonstration into the chapter on Atonement and Eucharist as the seventh main tone of love. Can you see how what she did, that every succeeding revision was adding something to the structure, to give a structural sense of the text, and therefore of the text, also of the idea, naturally. So all these things can be seen and can be checked when one knows, naturally, the last edition, the structure of the last edition. Another point that seems to be coming out, and which one would have to perhaps investigate still closer in more detail, which I couldn't do, is that one feels that Mrs. Eddy usually made first some kind of experience. And then when she went through that experience and saw the answer to that experience, she would write the text according to that. She would state the signs of that experience. And that she did, so to say, up to the fourth main revision. And then, after the fourth main revision, which had the tone of principle, and that stated that her teaching is a principle, then we know that principle always says, all right, now I'm going to demonstrate myself as life, truth, and love. And from that, then we can see from that revision onward, it was actually the divine principle that gave her the experiences and said, now go and prove it, what you have stated in your principle. So that there is a turn from the fourth to the fifth, sixth, and seventh. So there are, so to say, two blocks, the first to the fourth, and then the second block, life, truth, and love, as if she would show that once we have touched the divine principle, that the divine principle takes over and gives us those experiences that are necessary for us to prove that divine principle. So that in the period of life, and then the period of truth and love, she had to prove her teaching. We will see that as we go through the various revisions, how that is brought out. So let's take the first edition and see what we find in here. The first edition was one volume called Science and Health, and as I said, it had only eight chapters, in which the chapter Marriage had already somehow found its final statement, not in every detail naturally, but so that it can be recognized as already being laid out in the order of the word order. Besides that, no chapter had any resemblance with the final edition, nor were there 16 or 18 chapters in that book, only 8. And so we can ask ourselves, what is the main accent in that first edition? One of the main point that sticks out is that she hardly used in the whole of the textbook the term mind as a capitalized term. She was speaking about mind uncapitalized as if it would be mind God. She speaks in the vein, in the atmosphere of mind capitalized, but does not capitalize it. Even she would make statements that later on she would not make, but which we would make if we would state mind on the level of science itself. Namely, that she would write there, all is mind, and mind produces mind only. You see, that's the level of science itself. And in the last edition, she doesn't have that wonderful statement, because she was giving us in the textbook, really the textbook of Christian Science, but in her first revelation, she had that terrific sense of light that came to her, and that she made that statement with a small m in mind, that all is mind, and mind produces only mind. A wonderful statement. It's that, when we capitalize it, would be the mental, spiritual attitude of the 7,000-year period from which we today would try to practice Christian Science. But she didn't yet know anything about the necessity of capitalization. Therefore, she would capitalize terms like creator, like intelligence, wisdom, substance, which afterwards she decapitalized. So her command on capitalization was not developed. It was just sensing out things little by little and little by little, then over many, many revision of the textbook, she would find out the necessity for proper capitalization. What is also interesting here is that she uses the synonymous term soul, capitalized, very often, much more often than in the last edition. And this again can be explained very easily, because soul is really that term which says that there is only one ego, that God is the divine ego, and that that's the only ego there is. And we know that we can define soul really through that one ego. Now, her revelation was always that oneness, that one effulgence of life. She touched really something about the oneness of being, without being able to explain the inner structure of that oneness. So she was constantly speaking about soul. And therefore also she made statements which she would never make again in the last edition, namely that she would say, when we are spirit, capitalized spirit, or when we are soul, soul capitalized. See, she would never say that again. Or on the contrary, she would say, this is wrong. We are not spirit, she says in the chapter on spiritualism. But at that point, she would state these things, but where she would indicate that we are soul, we are spirit, we are life. And in a way, naturally, she was feeling something that was really right and big, namely that there is but one spirit, but one soul, but one life, but one truth, but one love, and that there is nothing besides that. So she touched right at the beginning something of the level of science itself, and therefore made those statements that afterwards she would take, she would correct and say, no, man is not spirit, man is spiritual. And we cannot confound quantity with quality. But that had to first evolve. But one can see that her revelation could see the oneness of being on the highest level, and she didn't quite know how to express it, how to put it over to the people. And therefore you also can see why her first edition was so much misunderstood. It was misunderstood because mind was not capitalized, and so she said mind is all, and mind produces only mind, so the door was open for the mesmerist, for animal magnetism, for malpractice, for mental malpractice, because there is only one mind, and that mind is a small m, and everybody has a mind of his own, and so the difficulty entered in. In that first edition, she didn't capitalize science either. And only used the capitalized term science only once in that whole textbook. So you can see, can you see the state of her consciousness at that time, that she must have been imbued, so to say, with that absolute oneness with the one being, which was unstructured, because it had no science in it. And she was trying to find out how to explain it, and tried to find out, and started with metaphysics, with metaphysical ideas, with metaphysical statements. She wouldn't know at that time something about science and about categories of science and about the system of these categories and all what is implied in it. Nor did she want any organization at that time. She said, we have no need of creeds and church organizations. No time was lost by our master in organization. And soon afterwards, she organized the first church organization. You see, at the beginning, that light must have been so terrific and so much light that she could hardly translate it right down to the human and to the human understanding. She was full of that oneness of being. I said that usually she was writing in the tone of her experience. Now, the first edition came out 9 years after her discovery. And in those 9 years, she made a lot of experiences. And those experiences were mostly on the level of healing, on the level of healing sickness, trying to apply her revelation to healing. She made healing experiments. She experimented even with her revelation. And so it was concentrated towards the healing work with individuals and on individuals, was investigating then the abuse of metaphysics as mesmerism. And interestingly enough, she did not use really the textbook as her textbook in teaching her classes. When she was teaching her classes, she was always teaching from the Science of Man that she had written, which afterwards was recapitulation as a chapter in the textbook. At that time, recapitulation was no part of the textbook. She had that separate as a means, so to say, as a manual for teaching, which she also called the Science of Mind. Then we know that she went through other very bad experiences when suddenly she found out that the metaphysicians were not metaphysicians, but that they were mesmerists, that they were misusing her teaching, and that she had to make a very great difference then between really metaphysics and mesmerism. It was a time of the floods where really Spofford was breaking with her, where Barry brought a suit against her. It was a time of upheaval. It was really the Noah's Ark edition that was in the mill and trying to bring it out, that Nurse-Nark edition was the second main edition in 1878 with that main tone of spirit. That Noah's Ark edition was symbolizing the Ark, the flood. The Ark, as she defines the Ark in the glossary, is the understanding of spirit, destroying the belief in matter. It was therefore that line of demarcation, that firmament that has to be made between opposites. And that is then the main tone, or I would say the new tone, that overrides now the first edition and gives to the second edition its main characteristic. Here we know that she is especially dealing with animal magnetism, that she made a distinction between metaphysics and mesmerism, show that these are opposites. She put those opposites in two different chapters, and now she had a chapter suddenly on mesmerism and one on metaphysics. So in order to show these are two very different fields of the mental realm. In that metaphysics, she thought she would find the protection and the solution for mesmerism, and therefore she capitalized metaphysics, and the term science hardly appears, and when it appears, it is not capitalized science. Still, one can see here that only step by step she was approaching science, she was approaching system and categories. She was approaching structure. It is very nicely to see that. Also, still here, she still is very much impressed by her original revelation of the oneness of being, and she would make statements that are exactly the opposite of what she states in the final edition. She would say, yes, there is but one spirit, but spirit is never individualized. Whereas in the last edition, we know that spirit individualizes. And she said that spiritual diversifies, identifies, classifies, and individualizes everything. So there, at that point, she just couldn't yet see how to explain that oneness of being. So it was still some kind of a mystic approach she had to the oneness of being, which is just one, and which cannot systematize, which cannot individualize, which cannot diversify, which cannot be classified. Still, that oneness of being, so to say, the mystic sense of being. So she still says here, when we become spirit, we shall be infinite and one, and that one capitalized. Something she would never anymore say in the last edition. On the contrary, she would say, this is absolutely wrong. So can you see how we have to be careful when we go to the older editions, that we don't take them as our textbook, but that we take it as a ways and means that show also us how we can really find our structured sense of the oneness of being. It's so easy to start out and say that there is only one being and there is nothing else but that infinite one. That's mystical, as long as we don't fill that infinite one with a structure. And she didn't know that at the beginning. She had to find it. Therefore, that had first to be revealed over that long period from the first edition in 1875 until the last edition, that are 35 years. A work of 35 years to find out really what she has discovered and what has been revealed to her. This we have to see. Then we go to the next edition, the third edition of Soul. And here again we see that there is a completely new approach that comes in. One can see that already on the cover of her textbook, namely the cross and the crown. No more Noah's Ark, but now the cross and the crown. She went through those very difficult times when her husband was accused of having killed somebody, and where the time where they had to see not only through mesmerism, but through malicious animal magnetism. We know that that chapter on animal magnetism was extended from 16 pages to 45 pages and contained all those criminal stories that she was experiencing in her surroundings, that friends became enemies, that those who should be grateful to her began to hate her, and things like that. So that was her experience, the very opposite of soul. All the sinfulness of the human character, the depravity of the human character, and had to take that into account. So she brought out in 1881 and 1882 the third edition, which was still at that time also the third main revision, still now in two volumes. I forgot when I did take the second edition that Mrs. Eddy only brought out the second volume. The first volume never appeared. And the second volume was full of mistakes. Practically on every page there was a printing mistake, and she had to put at the end of the book a whole sheet of erratas into it. One just can feel that she went through a terrific, difficult time, that time of Noah's Ark, of the flood, and the floods were trying really to swallow her up. And I know how it is when one is in such a period. Then printing is very difficult. One can't see the mistakes. One makes an awful lot of mistakes. And so she was not even able to print and to bring out the first volume. So she was waiting a bit longer and felt that she wanted to bring out a third edition in which she would, so to say, bring the second edition, the second volume, up to her present insight into malicious animal magnetism. That edition had a foreword by Dr. Eddy, in which he is really taking also up the sword against plagiarism. Mrs. Eddy was plagiarized right and left. She had to meet that kind of depravity also. And so Dr. Eddy investigated all about copyright and then made a foreword to the third edition. Now, we know what that third edition had as its main tone, namely the counterfeit of soul. The counterfeit of soul is not only the fact of the sinfulness of the depravity. So against the sinlessness of soul is the sinfulness of depravity, as we have seen it in malicious animal magnetism. But what one sees in the whole textbook is that now she brings out that there is a counterfeit to every fact. See, that every identity seems to have in the erroneous consciousness a counterfeit, so that the identity was reversed and had a reversal in the human mind and the mortal mind. We know that here the chapter on animal magnetism was called demonology instead of mesmerism, as in the preceding edition. And what she now gives here in this third edition are rules of healing. We know soul as rule. mind is law, spirit is order, soul is rule. And now for the first time she gives a lot of rules for healing. These are rules of argumentation mostly. And she brings right, she begins to translate really her terrific vision right down to the human. You know, she had seen in teaching the students that she couldn't teach the student her revelation, that it was far above the head of the students. And she was confronted with that very difficult task, how to translate her vision to the level of the human mind. And therefore she translated her whole vision to heal really through the oneness of being down to argumentation, down to giving rules of conduct, rules of treatment, rules of argumentation, which, as we know, are hardly left anymore over in the last edition. In the last edition, the method of argumentation is just mentioned two or three times, and in a way that she says, well, that's really only for the beginners, that's only for those who really don't understand science. For those people, it's still right, they still can argue. But here, really, the rules of argumentation are laid down. So that one can see that in that third edition, she begins now to translate her high vision down to the human plane of thought. Now we know soul is that which translates, and as I said, the other big issue was to show that every identity finds its counterfeit in some kind of human belief or carnal belief. And so again to show that we have to deal with counterfeits that are not counterfacts. Therefore, the rules of reversal comes in, that counterfeits must find its reversal and be brought back to the ideas of soul. That's still something that is left in the final edition, that we have to exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul.